Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Chicken Chicken by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The cover has a kid's head on a chicken's body with large talons, and it says, "It's a finger-licking nightmare!" Oh my goodness, and there's a chicken coop and a farmhouse in the background, and some lightning striking just at that moment. It looks very exciting. First off, shout out to Ryan, who's running a marathon in Portland and listening to this. I'm actually recording now, trying to get this out before he runs, and I'm gonna desperately try to get another one out before October 3rd, because the marathon's on the 4th, so it'll have both halves of the book, so we can run along hearing me make horrible jokes about chickens. I wonder if I'll say something about cocks and be like, "I met roosters, ha ha, god, I'm not funny." And then second off here, Nina from London sent over, 6 months ago, by the way, a bottle of Buckfast tonic wine for me, which my buddy and I read about in a Vice article about Scottish youths drinking this and committing crimes, and it kind of just being the low-class chav fucking drink of choice for ruffians. And since I like my low-class booze, she offered to send some, and did, and then I guess it sat with customs for 6 months, along with some Cadbury chocolate, which I've slowly been eating. I'm not really a sweet person, but I'm having a little nibble here and there, and it's good. But anyway, I'm going to try out some of this right now. I haven't opened it. Twist off cap, always a good sign for wine. So it's illegal in the U.S. because it has a high caffeine content. So let's have a sip of this. Oh, it's smooth. It actually, I don't know what I was expecting from tonic. I guess I was thinking, oh god, it's sickly sweet though. Sorry. I guess I was thinking like a Jägermeister, but it's just super, super sweet and like punchy. And 15% booze? Alright, I get why they could do this. I might have to switch for recording to Steel Reserve, because the sickly sweet is very, very sweet. Let me have another pull off this first. Ah. Alright, it does make me cringe a little. But, fantastic. I can't wait to drink the rest of this. Thank you so much, Nina. I appreciate it. I don't know why customs fucked up and had it wait so long, but thank you. That's fucking awesome. Let me go get a Steel Reserve and I'll start this up properly, eh? Oh, before I do that, actually, the other thing I wanted to point out was, I guess there's quite a few new listeners lately, maybe just because of the hype around the new Goosebumps movie and whatnot. The best way to get the old episodes is the archive.org. So if you just Google, like, archive Dune Reads Goosebumps, it'll come up. And, or it's, I think, archive.org/details/... Dune Reads Goosebumps. Anyway, that has everything. You can download each individual episode, you can stream them, you can download them in a torrent. It's very, very easy, and it has literally everything I've done. The website, DuneReadsGoosebumps.com, looks cool, but it's not up to date at all, and a lot of the second half of the tracks don't work, and then there's only 25 tracks on the podcast feed, when in reality, I have fucking hundreds, or 100 and something. Anyway, I'm gonna go get a different drink. But I do appreciate the Buckfast. It's just not conducive, the syrup, to recording. Hold up.
Chapter number one.
Yeah.
I hate chickens. They are filthy creatures. And they smell like chickens.
Like, I get it. Tastes like chicken, smells like chickens. All right, we get it.
Crystal, it's your turn to feed the chickens, Mom says. My least favorite words. I carry the seed bucket out to the backyard, and they come scurrying over, clucking and squawking and flapping their greasy wings.
Are chickens greasy before you cook their wings?
I guess so, right? I hate the way they brush against my legs as they peck the seeds off the ground. Their feathers are so rough and scratchy. My brother, Cole, and I are always trying to convince my parents to get rid of the chickens. Just because we live on a farm doesn't mean we have to have chickens, I always say. Right, but we're not farmers and shit, Cole agrees while stumbling, because it's so goddamn hot to be recording. So, why do we have to have these smelly chickens? It's always been our dream, Mom always replies. Blah, blah, blah. Parents, if they didn't want their dreams killed, why do they have kids? Cole and I have heard the dream story 1,000 times. Get it? No one likes hearing about your dreams. Or whatever you think of in the middle of the night. The tweet I started to write in the middle of the night, the other night, and didn't post it because it was too ridiculous, was just like the thoughts of Sport Chalet, Cenobites. Both take you to the limit. That's it. There was no complete thought on that one. And that's why I'm saying it here uncomfortably. We've heard how Mom and Dad grew up in the Bronx in New York City, so they probably talk like idiots. How they hated the noise and the dirt and the concrete. And how they dreamed of leaving the city for good and living on a farm near a small country town. So, when Cole was 2 and I was 4, we moved to Goshen Falls. G-O-S-H-E-N? Let's call them Gushen Falls, because that's more fun. Lucky us, the whole town is 3 blocks long. We have a cute little farm with a cute little farmhouse. And even though Mom and Dad are computer programmers, not farmers, we have a backyard full of motherfucking chickens. Cook! Cook! That's their dream. My dream is that Cole gets punished for mouthing off the way he always does. And his punishment is that he has to feed the chickens for the rest of his life. You need bigger dreams. Imagine if Martin Luther King's one dream was for his brother to have to do one chore instead of him. If that was the case, we wouldn't have black people right now. Or something. I don't remember. I'm not really into that kind of history. Everyone has to have a dream, right? I don't know what I meant by that kind of history. That came off wrong, I think. I'm an old dude. I like the history of, like, you know, wars and serial killers. That's it. Just people dying that aren't me that I can read comfortably in my safe home. Ow! A chicken pecked my ankle. That hurt. Their beaks are so sharp. I tossed a handful of seed on the ground and hopped backward away from the gross, clucking creatures. Their little black eyes glinted in the sunlight as they strutted over the grass, pecking each other, bumping each other out of the way as they dipped their scrawny heads for the food. I dropped the bucket in the back of the little barn we also use as a garage. Then I washed my hands under the cold water spigot at the side of the barn. This is unnecessary detail. I heard a low roar. A shadow rolled over the barn. I gazed up to see a small plane dipping under the puffy afternoon clouds. I took a deep breath. The tangy aroma of potatoes floated in the air like Samwise's dream. That's what the farmers grow around here. Mostly potatoes and corn, as if they don't have the necessary ingredients for a crawfish boil. I dried my hands on the legs of my jeans and hurried off in search of my brother. It was a sunny Saturday afternoon. Most of my friends from school were away on a 4-H club trip. For people that are, do they still have 4-H? I don't know. They didn't have it, obviously, because I went to school in a city by a beach. But 4-H is where kids, like, raise animals. They just do, like, farm shit, right? Like, you spend a year raising a pig and then you, like, kill it? I don't know. That would bum me out like crazy. But that's what it is, right? I don't know if they have it, but I'm sure they don't have it, you know, in other countries, or at least they call it something else. Anyway, I was just trying to be informative. Mom asked me to keep an eye on Cole. He's 10, 2 years younger than me. Hey, if you guys want to do the math and you want me to still be informative, that makes her 12. But sometimes he acts like a 4-year-old. It seems like he's always finding new ways to get in trouble. I wandered through town. No sign of him. I asked Mr. Wagner at the bakery if she'd seen him. Cole likes to stop in there and beg her for free donuts. Mrs. Wagner said she saw Cole and his friend Amphrony, it's just Anthony, heading out of town in the direction of Pullman's Pond. How quaint. It's a nice little place to raise a family. Uh-oh, I thought. What are they planning to do with the pond? I started to the door. I love your hair, Crystal, Miss Wagner called. It's such a beautiful, deep shade of red. You should be a model, really. You're so tall and thin. I mean, you're like an 8 in this small town, but once you get to LA, you'll be a 4. And you know what 4s do. anything you ask in LA. Thanks, Mrs. Wagner. Also, if I fuck up in the future, it's just Wagner, but I wanted to give it the German flair. So there's a chance I may just, you know, if it's a reoccurring character, go back to Wagner. But for now, Wagner. I called as the door closed behind me. I wasn't thinking about my hair or being a model. I was thinking about Cole and Anthony and the pond. I trotted the rest of the way through the town. Waved to Mr. Porter, standing in the window of the Pick and Pay. Then I turned off the street and followed the dirt path that led to Pullman's Pond. I didn't have to go far to find Cole and Anthony. They were hiding behind the long hedge at the edge of Vanessa's property. I gazed beyond the hedge to the falling down old farmhouse where Vanessa lives. Who is Vanessa? I guess you might say she is the most interesting person in Gushen Falls. And the most weird. Actually, Vanessa is like someone from a horror movie. She is kind of pretty with long, straight black hair and a pale, white face. She dresses in all black. She wears black lipstick with black fingernail polish. She loves shopping at Hot Topic. Vanessa is a mystery woman. No one knows if she's young or old, like people that are Asian from the ages of 30 to 50. She keeps to herself. I've hardly ever seen her in town. She lives in her old farmhouse right outside the town with her black cat, because she's cliche as a motherfucker. Naturally, everyone says she's some kind of sorceress. I've heard all kinds of stories about Vanessa. Frightening stories. Most of the kids in Gushen Falls are scared of her, but that doesn't stop them from playing tricks on her. Oh, so she's a witch. They're gonna go on a witch hunt, and she's gonna get turned into a chicken. Speaking of witch stuff, my fiance is going to Salem a little less than a month from now, with the place where all those witches did witch-ass shit with her friend, which for you means more goosebumps, because I'll have time to myself, but for me, it means taking care of all the goddamn pets by myself. Anyway, kids are always daring each other to sneak up to Vanessa's house. It's kind of a game everyone plays. Sneak up to her house, tap on the window, make her cat screech, then run away before Vanessa sees you. What a dick move to that cat. Hey, Cole! I called in a loud whisper. I ducked my head as I ran along the hedge. If Vanessa was home, I didn't want to see her. Steel Reserve. If Vanessa was home, I didn't want her to see me. Hey, Cole, what's up? As I came nearer, I saw that Cole and Anthony weren't alone. Two other kids huddled behind the hedge, Franny Jouette and Jeremy Garth. Cole raised a finger to his lips. Shh, Vanessa is in there. What are you doing? I demanded. I saw that Franny and Jeremy held plastic water pitchers in their hands. Is that lemonade or something? Oh, it's pee-pee. I know. Milk, lemonade, round the corner. Yeah, I got it. Still amazed that my fiance does not know that. Neither is her sister. Leche, limonata, round the corner. Chocolata. They shook their heads solemnly. Some kids dared them to visit to fill Vanessa's mailbox with water, Cole explained. Huh? I gasped. I stared at Franny and Jeremy. You're not going to do it. Are you? Also, that's retarded. They have to, Cole answered for them. A dare is a dare. Wait. This town would work well with creepy pedophiles. Hey, I dare you to not tell your parents. No. Anyway.
But that's so mean, I protested.
My brother snickered. The mailbox is right next to the front door. No way they won't get caught. Franny and Jeremy are blonde and pale like children of the corn. Now they looked even paler than usual. Jeremy made a soft choking sound. Franny gripped her pitcher tightly and peered over the hedge at the black metal mailbox on its tilted pole. I like to think it's actually a black metal mailbox rather than a black metal mailbox, and there's just spikes in it for no reason, and it has corpse paint on.
You accepted the dare. Are you going to wimp out? Cole demanded.
Franny and Jeremy glanced at each other nervously. They didn't reply.
Don't do it, Anthony suddenly chimed in.
We all turned to Anthony. He's short and chubby and has a round face with a very short black hair.
and wears red framed glasses that are always slipping down his pug nose.
Don't do it, Anthony repeated.
What? Why not?
Franny stammered.
Didn't you hear what happened when Vanessa caught Tommy Pottridge?
Anthony asked in a hushed whisper.
Didn't you hear what she did to him?
No, Franny and Jeremy declared together.
I felt a tremble of fear run down my back.
What did Vanessa do to Tommy?
I demanded.
Ah, maybe the sorceress turned him into a pinball wizard.
I think we'll find out in the next chapter. Jabronis.
Chapter 2.
I peered over the tall hedge. Did something move in Vanessa's front window?
No, just a glint of sunshine on the window pane.
We huddled closer to Anthony. Even though it was a warm spring day, I suddenly felt chilled.
What did Vanessa do to Tommy?
I repeated in a whisper.
She caught him sneaking up to her house,
Anthony reported.
She did some kind of magic spell on him. She made his head blow up like a balloon.
Oh, come on, I exclaimed, rolling my eyes.
No, really, Anthony protested. His head was huge, and it got all soft and squishy like a sponge.
Cole laughed.
Anthony clamped a hand over Cole's mouth.
It's true, he insisted.
Vanessa gave him a big, soft, spongy head, as if he was hydrocephalic.
That's why we don't you see Tommy around anymore.
But the Pottridges moved away,
Fanny cried.
That's why they moved,
Anthony replied.
Because of Tommy's head.
By the way, I like that... never mind. I was about to get on one tirade, then I was like, you know what? If you just wear black nail polish and are kind of a douche, 12-year-old kids will inevitably fuck with you. And then I was like, that was all of my junior high years, both of them. Me rocking black nail polish and getting fucked with and being miserable. But now look at me, I'm an adult. Oh, wait. Sorry, there's black nail polish on my toes right now. Someday I'll be an adult.
We all froze for a moment, thinking about Anthony's story. I tried to picture Tommy with a big, squishy head.
Cole broke the silence.
Give me that, he cried.
He grabbed the water pitcher from Jeremy's hands.
I'll fill up her mailbox. I'm not scared.
No way, Jeremy protested.
He wrestled the pitcher away from my brother.
Then he turned to Franny.
We're doing it, right?
We were dared, so we have to do it, right?
Fanny swallowed hard.
I guess... she choked out.
All right, Cole cheered, slapping them both on the backs.
Franny nearly dropped her pitcher.
You can do it.
Lots of kids play tricks on Vanessa, and they don't get squishy heads.
I still think it's mean to fill someone's mailbox with water. Plus, I think it's a felony. You can't just fuck with the mail. That's like a federal thing,
I protested. And it's not worth the risk.
No one wanted to listen to me or my warnings.
Franny and Jeremy tiptoed to the edge of the hedge, presumably in their joggins.
Then they began slowly making their way over the tall, weed-choked grass. They carried their plastic water pitchers in both hands in front of them, and they kept their eyes on the tilted mailbox to the right of the front door of Vanessa's farmhouse. Cole, Anthony, and I crept out from behind the hedge to watch. I held my breath and stared at the front window, looking out for Vanessa. But the glare of yellow sunlight filled the window pane. I couldn't see shit. Franny and Jeremy seemed to be moving in slow motion. It was taking them forever to cross the lawn to the mailbox. A million tiny white gnats flew over the tall grass, swirling and dancing in the sunlight. The gnats sparkled like jewels.
What a beautiful description of gnats.
Franny, I feel like I should have said a joke there. It was a weird pause.
Franny and Jeremy walked right through them. Their eyes didn't leave the mailbox. The two boys and I stepped a little closer, eager to see better.
No sign of anyone inside the house.
We stepped even closer.
At last, Jeremy pulled down the metal mailbox lid. He and Franny raised their plastic pitchers.
They both lowered the pitchers to the mailbox. and poured. Shit! The water made a soft splashing sound as it hit the metal mailbox. Franny emptied her pitcher. Jeremy had nearly emptied his. Then the front door swung open and Vanessa burst out. As an adult, I'm like, is there going to be a point where like I have a house and kids just do weird shit to it? And I'm like, great, I had hardwood floors and I was out of town and now they're warped because of a dare. Man, kids are the worst. She wore a flowing black dress. Her straight black hair flew wildly behind her. Her black lipsticked lips were open in an angry cry. The cat screeched shrilly from somewhere inside the house. Franny dropped her pitcher. She bent to pick it up, changed her mind, and ran. Jeremy was already diving into the bushes at the far side of the house, Franny close behind him. Cole, Anthony, and I hadn't moved. We stood in the grass, watching Vanessa. I gasped when I saw Vanessa's furious stare. I turned to Cole and Anthony. Why is she staring like that at us? I choked out. What does she think we did? You ever heard of guilty by association? You can't just hang around and with people who dump things in there. Don't people go to prison for like driving their friends who shoot people? Like, what the fuck do you expect's gonna happen? You're friends with the kids who just dumped water in her house for no reason. You better at least pay for some paper towels. She. I'm just gonna keep reading. Chapter 3. My whole body stiffened, light as a feather, stiff as a board, as if Vanessa's eyes were shooting out some kind of laser ray. I forced myself to spin away, and I started to run. Cole and Anthony were at my sides. Our sneakers thudded heavily over the dirt path. We kicked up clouds of dirt as we ran like cartoon characters. A blur of green and brown, the fields appeared to tilt and sway around me. We ran through town without stopping, without saying a word, without even looking at each other. Mrs. Wagner stepped out of the bakery. She started to say hello. I caught the shocked expression on her face as the three of us ran past her without slowing down, like some sort of Kenyan marathon runners, or, you know, like a Portland marathon runner. Yeah, that is a joke for one person. We ran until we reached my house. We burst through the gate, slammed it open so hard the whole fence shook. I pushed open the front door with my shoulder, and all three of us staggered into the living room. Gasping for breath, I dropped to my knees on the carpet. Cole and Anthony collapsed on the couch. We struggled to catch our breath. I brushed my hair back off my sweaty forehead. I got one of those too right now. It's fucking hot, and I'm trying to record. The clock on the mantle chimed. 3 o'clock. Bong, bong, bong. Cole and Anthony burst out laughing. I narrowed my eyes at them. What's so funny? I demanded breathlessly. That made them laugh even harder. What's so funny, guys? I repeated, like a Tumblr user. I don't see what's funny about this. That's something that should never be joked about. I decide what's funny. I decide what's funny, idiots, and everything's funny. I climbed to my feet and pressed my hands into my waist, waiting for an answer like a mom. Why are you laughing? I don't know, Cole answered, finally. I don't know either, Anthony echoed, and they both laughed again. You're crazy, I muttered, shaking my head. That wasn't funny. It was scary. Cole pulled himself up. His expression turned serious. Did you see the way Vanessa stared at us? She didn't see Fanny and Jeremy, Anthony said. She only saw us. He pulled off his glasses and cleaned them with his t-shirt. The short black hair on his round head glistened with sweat. I felt a chill. What if Vanessa decides to do something terrible to us? I demanded. You two won't be laughing then. Cole pulled himself up even straighter. He ran a hand back through his wavy blonde hair. Cole is tall and even skinnier than me. Sometimes I think he looks like a grasshopper. Man, I really wish I could talk to this character and be like, what the fuck do you mean he looks like a grasshopper? Have you ever seen a grasshopper? Because it doesn't look like a tall blonde kid.
Crystal, what do you mean? He demanded softly. I mean, if Vanessa thinks we were the ones who filled her mailbox with water, maybe she'll pay us back. You know, make our heads swell up or something?
But we didn't do anything,
Anthony protested. We have to tell her it was Franny and Jeremy.
Snitch,
Cole muttered, thankful.
Thankful?
Thank you. Thank someone.
Don't snitch,
Cole muttered, grinning at his friend.
Maybe she won't give us a chance to explain, I said. Maybe she'll just do something horrible to us.
I started to the kitchen.
You guys want something to drink?
I didn't hear their replies. I pulled open the fridge and took out a bottle of iced tea. A second later, I opened my mouth in a loud scream
of pain.
Oh, this is why I don't record numerous chapters at once. I'm all lightheaded and need water. Fuck that noise.
Chapter number 4. Gotta check if it's recording. It is.
Crystal, what happened? Cole came running into the kitchen.
I shuddered in pain. Ow!
What happened? He cried. I shook my hand, trying to shake away the throbbing.
The fridge door, I managed to choke out. I slammed it on my hand.
How's that even possible?
Shit, I've been opening fridges since I was like 3. Never had a problem.
I shook my hand some more. Then I tested each finger. Like in Empire Strikes Back when Luke's testing out his hand. Oh wait, I think that's in Jedi. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Star Wars is silly.
I could move them, nothing broken. I raised my eyes to Cole.
Why are you grinning? I demanded.
You didn't slam your hand, he replied.
Vanessa did.
Anthony giggled from the doorway.
Cole, you're not funny,
I screeched. I wrapped my fingers around his scrawny neck and pretended to strangle him. But my hand still hurt. I had to let go.
I think that's a Simpsons gag you just stole.
Vanessa cursed you, Anthony said, picking up where Cole had left off.
Now your hand will probably swell up to the size of a cantaloupe.
And it will get soft and squishy like Tommy's head.
Cole added gleefully.
Soft and squishy, like your brain, bitch! Burn, fam!
Not funny, not funny, I insisted. I admit it. I felt a little afraid. I didn't like kidding around about this stuff. My hand ached and burned. I opened the freezer and stuck it inside.
What if Vanessa really has powers?
I asked them.
What if she really did make me slam my hand in the door?
Wait. I like that you immediately go to magic for you being an idiot.
Cole and Anthony raised their hands in front of them and began moving them back and forth, as if casting spells on me.
You are a spongehead, Cole cried, lowering his voice, trying to sound like a real sorcerer just like Dune did instinctively. You will mop up the dinner dishes with your head.
I dug that one. That's when Mom and Dad walked in.
What on earth? Mom cried.
Crystal, why do you have your hand in the freezer? I slid my hand out and closed the freezer door.
Just cooling off, I said.
Mom narrowed her eyes at me, like people do all the time in Goosebumps book.
Cooling off one hand?
Actually, I slammed the door on it. A door, whatever, I told her.
Vanessa slammed a door on it,
Cole corrected.
Vanessa, Dad asked, crossing to the sink.
You mean the strange woman that lives outside the town?
Have you been pestering that poor woman again?
Mom demanded.
Don't you kids have anything better to do than sneak around and play tricks on her?
Says the bitch who took the family out of the city, then moved to a town with 3 blocks where the kids try to get donuts for fun.
Shut up, Mom. You don't know anything. What the fuck? Why are you gonna complain about us doing weird shit?
Clearly people need, like, interaction and humans and shit. We're social animals.
We didn't do anything, Cole said.
Really? That's the truth, Anthony chimed in.
Then why did you mention Vanessa?
Mom asked Cole. I decided I'd better change the subject.
Where were you two?
I asked my parents.
Out back, trying to decide where to put the fence for the vegetable garden,
Dad replied. He was washing his hands in the kitchen sink, something Mom always scolds him for.
Wait, where are you supposed to wash your hands? I'm very confused about this and getting numerous texts.
If we didn't have chickens, you wouldn't need a fence, I grumbled. I think you should get rid. That reminds me, Mom interrupted. Cole, some of the chickens wandered all the way to the back. Would you go out and round them up, please?
Chicken roundup? Who do I look like, Link? I exclaimed gleefully.
I slapped Cole on the back. Congrats, your favorite job.
What? That's not fair. I did the chicken roundup last time, Cole wailed. It's Crystal's turn. I don't want to do the chicken roundup. Everyone has to do the chicken roundup but me. I don't like the chicken roundup.
I fed them this morning, I declared, and it wasn't even my turn. Besides, it's easier for you to round them up, because you look like a big rooster like Sweet D. Everyone laughed except Cole. He grumbled and shook his head. Then he grabbed Anthony and pulled him outside to help with the chicken roundup. A few seconds later, I could hear a lot of clucking and squawking back there, and I could hear the boys shouting and complaining.
Did you ever try to herd chickens?
It ain't easy.
I've herded cats. That's the expression, that's not easy. Ooh, there's a drinking break. Water first, because I'm parched, and Steel Reserve.
My hand ached all day from slamming it in the fridge door, and every time it ached, I thought of Vanessa, and I pictured her cold eyes staring at the boys and me. She isn't going to do anything to us, I told myself. She can't do anything to us. Those stories about Vanessa cannot be true. I kept repeating this to myself, but that night, I had trouble falling asleep. I kept seeing a shadow move against my bedroom wall, the shadow of a cat. I climbed out of bed and pulled down the window blind. Now the room was bathed in total darkness, no shadows on the wall. I still couldn't fall asleep. I stared wide-eyed into the blackness. Crystal, go to sleep, I instructed myself, not knowing how the brain works. You are scaring yourself for no reason. A creaking sound made me jump. A crack of gray light at my bedroom door. Another creak. And the streak of light grew wider. I swallowed hard. I watched the door slowly slide open. Staring in silence, I realized that someone was creeping into my bedroom. Someone wearing a black veil and a long black dress.
Vanessa!
I shouted. It's going to be the brother dressed up just to scare the sister, right? Obviously. Let's just go on anyway.
Chapter number 5.
I opened my mouth to scream, but only a low moan came out. I started to jump up out of bed and turn my swag on, but where could I run? She slid silently toward me. Her arms reached out as if ready to grab me. Her face was hidden behind the heavy black veil. How did she get into the house? What is she going to do to me? The frightening questions fluttered through my mind. She leaned over my bed. Her hands moved to my throat.
So it's either at this point the brother, or what would be even worse,
it was just a dream. I was trying to fall asleep, and I guess I did. No!
I choked out. I reached up, pushed away her hands, grasped her veil in both hands, and tugged it off like a Scooby-Doo ending. Cole! All right, as a brother. In the gray light from the open doorway, I could see his grin. Cole, you jerk! I shrieked. I tossed the veil down, dove for him, tried to tackle him to the floor, but I missed and tumbled out of bed.
Cole, you creep!
You scared me to death. I don't think he heard me over his gleeful laughter. I scrambled to my feet. He dodged away from me, still cackling. He backed up to the doorway.
You really thought it was Vanessa, he cried.
Did not, I lied.
He cried, I lied. It sounds like an Avril Lavigne song.
You just scared me, that's all.
Did too, he insisted. You thought it was Vanessa. You really thought she had come to pay you back.
Did not, I cried angrily. He made hand motions as if casting a spell.
Abra, cadabra, you're a spongehead, Charlie Brown.
He started laughing again. He really thought he was a riot.
I'll pay you back, I promised him. Really, I'm going to pay you back. Shaking his head, he made his way out of the room, the long black skirt trailing over the floor. With an angry growl, I picked up the veil and heaved it after him. I don't think you can throw a veil very far. Like, I imagine it just being released and then fluttering to the ground, side to side. I punched my pillow furiously. Why did I let him make a fool of me like that? Now he'd tell everyone at school that I thought Vanessa was sneaking into my room. My heart still pounding, I climbed back into bed. I felt so angry it took me hours to fall asleep. And when I finally drifted off, I dreamed about a cat.
Dodie, you're asleep right now. You're a cat. Are you dreaming about cats?
No, he's just dreaming about cheese.
An ugly black cat with bright yellow eyes and a blood red tongue. The cat hunched in an all-white room. But then, the room became my room. In the dream, the cat moved to the end of the bed. It opened its mouth wide. The bright red tongue darted over its yellow teeth. And then, the cat began to screech! A sharp, painful sound, like fingernails dragged over a chalkboard. Sorry.
Got a drink. Do kids still have chalkboards? Do they know that sound? That reference probably has to be changed soon, right? Like, maybe they can just do the relatable, like, styrofoam against styrofoam? Oh, whatever.
It screeched and screeched, its mouth open wider, its yellow eyes flamed. It looked like a female version of the Come to Daddy video by Aphex Twin. I couldn't stand the sound. In the dream, I saw my covers cover my ears with both hands. I saw myself cover, Jesus. But the shrill screeching grew even louder. The cat floated closer, closer, opened its jaws wide as if to swallow me. I woke up, stunned by the sudden silence. The dream had been so real. I expected to see the screeching cat standing on my bed covers. Bars of yellow sunlight fell through the window blinds onto the floor. I saw the crumpled black veil beside the door.
Oh, you know, I like when you rhyme, R.L. Stine. In fact, I want more. I hope you have some in store. Because if not, it would be a bore. Alright, these rhymes are getting sore.
No cat! I stretched out and climbed out of bed. Yawning, I got dressed for school. Mom was setting down a bowl of cornflakes and a glass of orange juice for me when I reached the kitchen. Sleep well? She asked. Not at all, I grumbled. I dropped into my seat at the breakfast table. First, I couldn't get to sleep. Then, I had an annoying nightmare. Mom tisk-tisked. She crossed to the sink and began pouring water into the coffee maker. So you can use sink water for coffee making, you just can't use it for washing your hands. I thought about telling her about Cole's dumb joke, but I decided not to. Mom would only start axing us again about what we were doing at Vanessa's house yesterday. What are you doing after school, Crystal? She asked, clicking on the coffee maker. Maybe you can come home and rest up then. No way, I replied, swallowing a mouthful of corn flakes. I've got basketball practice. Coach Clay says she's going to give me extra playtime. I told her how tired I am of being the sixth girl.
I know there's the sixth man, but I don't know what it means in basketball. Because all my basketball knowledge comes from what? NBA 2K14 and then obviously NBA Jam. Can people really set the net on fire? And do they often slam-a-lam-a-ding-dong?
I want to be a starter, but I never get enough playing time to show how good I am. Mom turned to me. She blew a strand of brown hair off her forehead. Maybe that's why you couldn't sleep last night, she said. Maybe you were nervous about basketball practice. I shrugged. I didn't want to tell her the real reason. Nobody wants to hear parents or talk to parents or whatever. I need some water.
I heard Cole clomping down the stairs. Mom pulled out a cereal bowl for him.
When are you going to buy a present for Lucy Ann? Mom asked me. You know, her birthday party is Saturday. Lucy Ann is one of my best friends.
That'd be cool if she was from Louisiana.
She was
She's been talking about this birthday, her 13th, for weeks. She's so excited to become a teenager. Ah, don't be excited, it's the worst. You should get excited for your 20s. Maybe I'll go shopping tomorrow after school, I replied. What are you gonna get her? I opened my mouth to answer, but Cole came charging into the room. One look at his face, and Mom and I gasped. Cole, Mom cried. My face, he stammered. His cheeks and forehead were covered in big, ugly sores. Ugly red blotches. It hurts, he groaned. He turned to me. Vanessa, he murmured. Vanessa did this to me. That Vanessa... She has been keeping Neutrogena in business. That's not what I wanted. What's the company that makes the pads? Stridex. Do they still have those? That's a 90s reference. But there's a 90s book, and I'm going to try John because this is a short one.
Chapter 6.
It's really 6, but I made it titillating. Cole dropped to his knees and covered his face with his hands. I jumped up from my chair. Cole? I'll call the doctor, Mom cried. Or should I dial 911? She bent over Cole. Does it really hurt? Are you really in pain? Cole slowly lowered his hands, and as he did, I saw the broad grin on his face, and I saw that his hands had smeared the red blotches on his cheeks. Cole! I screamed furiously. Mom's mouth dropped open. She had one hand on the phone, ready to call the doctor. Red marker pen, Cole said through his grin. Then he burst out laughing. You're going to look back on this and not think it's so funny when you wake up like that every day as a teenager, because acne's gross. But you don't got that when you're older, for the most part. Ah! I let out a furious cry and heaved my cereal spoon at him. It bounced off his chest and clattered across the linoleum floor, where presumably Fat Mike stayed with his dog named Dog. Not funny, I screamed. Mom shook her head. Cole, you really scared me, she sighed. Cole stood up and pointed at me. Crystal, you really believed Vanessa did it to me, he accused. Your jokes are stupid, I cried. I'm never going to believe you again. You are the kid who cried red splotches. So now when there are red splotches, no one's gonna believe you. Even if you get hit by a truck, I won't believe you. That's a statement that people make to Geo online. I spun around and stormed out the kitchen. Behind me, I could hear Mom telling Cole, "You really have to stop scaring your sister." Why? Cole asked. I grabbed my backpack, tore out of the house, and slammed the door behind me. I forced Vanessa from my mind. I didn't think about her once that whole day. In fact, I didn't think about her until the next time I saw that bitch. And that's when all the frightening stuff really started. I think I'm going to chug the Steel Reserve because I think alcohol makes me funnier and more charming, but I don't think it makes me drive better, so I wouldn't do that. That's my lesson to you kids. Drink every day, but don't drive.
Chapter 7.
Is that Lucy Ann's cake? Cole asked. Well, it says Happy Birthday, Lucy Ann, on it, I replied. So what's your guess, genius?
Jesus Christ, bitch, I was just trying to make conversation. Obviously, yes, it's the cake. I guess I just wanted to talk to you. You know, it's good to have some human interaction, but fuck it. Yes, oh, be a bitch.
Cole, Anthony, and I had our noses pressed against the window of the bakery. Several white frosted birthday cakes were on display. Lucy Ann stood in the middle of the shelf, ready to be picked up for her party on Saturday. I saw Mrs. Wagner waving to us from behind the counter inside the store. I waved back to her. Then I checked my watch, indicating that bitch is boring. Hey, I'm late, I told the boys. I've got to buy a present for Lucy Ann. Then I've got to get home and study my math.
I get that it's like pre-Amazon and they live in a town that's 3 blocks wide, so like... Everyone's just going to get the girl the same shit, right? At the general store? Be like, here's some candy and a, you know, a straw hat. I got this for you and some dip. Do you dip yet? You will.
I hurried toward the mini mart at the corner next to the grocery. My plan was to buy Lucy Ann a new CD. At the end of the block, Mr. Horace's old hound sprawled in the middle of the street, lazily scratching his mangy ear with a back paw, looking as if he owned the town. I think that was a weird time where people bought people CDs. Like, you'll like this.
Like, what percentage of the time do you actually enjoy someone's music recommendation? Everyone just listens to their own shit now, and it's a sweet world.
I heard Cole and Anthony laughing behind me. I turned and made a shooing motion with both hands. Take a walk, guys. You don't have to tag along with me. They ignored me, as usual. Cole slipped an egg from his pocket.
Seriously? An egg from his pocket? That's why these kids need to live somewhere with, like, streets that have numbers.
His eyes flashed mischievously. Think fast, he cried. He tossed the egg at Anthony. Anthony cupped his hands and caught the egg. Without a pause, he tossed it back to my brother. Oh, please, I begged. Not this stupid game. Cole had to stretch, but he caught the egg in one hand. This is one of their games that drives me crazy, but it feels alright.
I don't know. I don't think I know that song fully. Steel Reserve, gotta finish it.
They throw an egg back and forth as they walk. Each time they throw it, they stand a little farther apart from each other. The idea is to see how far they can toss the egg without breaking it. The answer is, not that far. One of them always ends up with eggs splattered all over him.
Guess he's the one with the egg on his face.
Once I made the mistake of trying to dive between them and intercept the egg, too bad I intercepted it with my forehead. Please, guys, I begged, go do your egg toss somewhere else, okay? Cole backed up into the middle of the street. A few feet away, Mr. Horace's old hound yawned and rolled onto his back. I saw two men in overalls pulling enormous burlap bags of feed from the feed store across the street. Yo! Cole called, a word they'd just discovered in this small town, and heaved the egg high in the air. Anthony raised a hand to shield his eyes from the sun. He backed up, back, nearly to the grocery store. He was more back-to-back than Drake.
That's a reference that no one's gonna get in, 6 months. That is topical of something that happened 2 months ago.
And the egg plopped down on top of his head. With a disgusting crack, it made.
It was really fucking gross and shit.
Huh? Anthony uttered a startled gasp, and yellow goo started to flow down his forehead and the sides of his hair. Sorry, it got away from me, Cole cried. But he couldn't keep a straight face. He burst out laughing. Anthony let out an angry growl and charged at Cole. Dune needs water. Cole dodged away from him and ran up onto the sidewalk. Stop it, stop it! I shouted like a spoil sport. Roaring like an angry lion, Anthony dove at my brother and pinned him against the grocery store window. You did that on purpose! He shouted. No way, it was an accident, like you are, boy! Oh! Cole replied, laughing. Anthony lowered his egg-glopping head and headbutted Cole in the chest. Oof! My brother let out a groan. Anthony pulled back his head and prepared another headbutt. Cole glanced down at his t-shirt. It was drenched in sticky egg yolk. Stop it, stop it! Shrieking at them, I dove between them. I grabbed Anthony's shoulders and tried to tug him off Cole. I didn't see Vanessa step out of the grocery store. None of us did.
Really? She's all dressed in black, and I'm sure it's the middle of the day.
Get off! I begged Anthony. I gave him a hard tug. All three of us bounced hard into Vanessa. First, I saw her black dress. Then, I saw her pale face.
What, are you an engine? You can't just go around calling people pale faces. Sorry, I'm turning off my PlayStation. I don't know why it's on.
It's PlayStation 3. It's pretty cool. Apparently they got a newer one, but fuck that, not for me. Saw her dark eyes grow wide with surprise. I saw her mouth fall open, her hands fly up, and two bags of groceries bounce to the sidewalk. I heard one bag rip, and I heard cans and bottles clatter to the street. The sound of shattering glass made me turn to the street. I saw a puddle of deep red ketchup that had leaked from the broken ketchup bottle. That's because she only buys things that look like blood. A carton of eggs lay open and shattered in the gutter.
and apparently eggs. I still had Anthony's shoulders gripped in both hands. A shiver ran down his body. He pulled free of me with a hard jerk.
Sorry,
he cried to Vanessa. I'm really sorry. Then he jumped over some of her groceries and went running into the street. What a bitch. Whoa! Anthony cried out as he tripped over the hound dog. He went down face first in the pavement on top of the dog. Good. I hope he broke some of his adult teeth. The dog didn't make a sound. It hardly moved. Anthony struggled to his feet. Then he roared off behind the feed store. He disappeared without ever looking back. Just like your dad. Oh, wow, I muttered, staring down at the ruined groceries all over the street. Oh, wow. Apparently she can only quote Joey Lawrence. Cole stood beside me, breathing noisily, shaking his head. The dog loped over slowly, favoring one leg. He lowered his head and began licking egg yolk off the pavement. I turned to Vanessa and nearly gasped when I saw the look of fury on her cold, pale face. Well, stop fucking with this lady and ramming her when she has groceries. As her eyes locked on mine, I felt as if I'd been stabbed by an icicle. A shiver of fear made me take a step back. I grabbed Cole's arm. I trited? What is that even? What word? Jesus. I trited? All right, done with that steel reserve. I started to pull him away, but Vanessa stepped forward, her long black dress sweeping along the sidewalk. She pointed to Cole with a slender finger tipped in black nail polish. Then she pointed at me.
Chicken, chicken,
she whispered. That's the name of the book, but that's also what she whispered.
I wonder if they named the book after what she whispered, probably.
I need to put my song Chicken Chicken Sandwich Steel Reserve at the end of this. It's a song I did years ago it's a classic, guys. It's just a classic banger. It's about eating chicken sandwiches and drinking Steel Reserve. It was done in all in one take. I'll put that at the end. I gotta edit it anyway.
Good times.
All right, Steel Reserve done. Considering making a cocktail, but I think if I have time, which I'm rarely ever home alone, which is why I have a chance to record now, I'm thinking that I might try to record at least part of the second half of this, and I also don't want to shut myself down by being too drunk. I don't know. I gotta figure out how to walk that line, which I'm usually good at, so I'll do what I feel is best. But until then, I'm going to read chapter 8 and then decide.
Chapter 8 and then decide.
A smile spread over Vanessa's black lipsticked lips as she rasped the words at us.
Chicken. Chicken.
I gasped as if I'd been slapped. The street tilted in front of me. Then it started to spin. What on earth did she mean? Why did she say that? Cole and I didn't wait to ax her. Our sneakers thudded the pavement as we took off, running at full speed. Why didn't you help her with her groceries so she didn't curse you and realized you were good people? I glimpsed the old hound dog still lapping up egg yolk from the street, and I glimpsed Vanessa's angry face for one more brief second, and then Cole and I whipped around the corner, sped past the post office and the dry cleaner, and ran all the way home.
Why do they even have a dry cleaner in this town, right? Like, don't they just wear nice clothes for, like, weddings and funerals? There's three houses. Like, it's not like they're dry cleaning their flannel farmer's shirts, right? I say get rid of that dry cleaner. Sick of it.
I didn't glance back once, and I didn't say a word until we were safely in the kitchen. I collapsed onto a kitchen stool. Cole ran the cold water in the sink and splashed it over his face and hair. We were both panting and wheezing, too breathless to speak. I wiped the sweat off my forehead with my arm. Then I crossed to the fridge and pulled out a small bottle of water. Twisting off the cap, I tilted it to my mouth and drank it down. Water! You know, it seems like an advertisement. I like water. Like I said, I think that people should just drink water, caffeine, and alcohol. That's my theory. If you guys are drinking sodas, knock it off. Grow up. That's gross.
We should have stayed. I finally managed to sputter.
Huh?
Cole turned to me. He had water dripping down his red face like an Apache. The front of his t-shirt was soaked. We should have stayed and helped Vanessa pick up her groceries, I told him.
No way, Cole protested. She's crazy. Did you see the look in her face?
Well, we knocked down all of her groceries, asshole, I said.
So, it was an accident,
my brother insisted. Accidents happen all the time, right?
But she wanted to destroy us. Plus, it's totally normal for you to have accidents when you're asleep in bed, and sometimes pee-pee comes out, and sometimes some sort of slime comes out, and I don't know which one's which, but I can tell you that my body's going through changes, and it's weird and confusing.
I rubbed the cool bottle against my pounding forehead.
Why did she say that to us?
I asked, thinking out loud.
Why did she whisper that?
Cole changed his expression. He reached out his hand and pointed a finger at me. Then he did a pretty good Vanessa imitation.
Chicken, chicken,
he rasped, shaking his finger at me.
Stop it, I snapped. I mean, really, stop it, Cole. You're just giving me the creeps. The creeps.
No, social distortion references. No, never mind, whatever.
Chicken, chicken,
he whispered again.
Come on, give me a break,
I pleaded. I crushed the plastic bottle in my hand.
It's just so weird, I murmured. Why did she say that?
Why? Cole shrugged.
Because she's crazy? Because we think she's crazy? Because she doesn't fit into the norms of our terrible-ass small town when our parents should have raised us in the Bronx to get culture?
I shook my head fretfully.
She isn't crazy. She's evil,
I said. I wrapped my arms around myself.
I just have the feeling that something horrible is going to happen now.
Cole rolled his eyes.
Crystal, what could happen?
See, that's the teaser at the end of the chapter, which means horrible shit's about to happen. I know that because I've read a few Goosebumps. Or most Goosebumps. I finally organized my my collection here. So, it's all the books from Megan, then all the ones I had, and I think I'm missing like four of the original ones. Then I need to buy tons of the Give Yourself Goosebumps. Because even though I don't know what I'm doing after I finish the original 62 Goosebumps, I'm definitely planning on recording as many of the Give Yourself Goosebumps as possible. Because those are the most fun. You feel me?
Chapter 9.
Did you buy a present for Lucy Ann? Mom asked for dinner. And if any of you were asking, I went with a cocktail.
I swallowed a forkful of spaghetti.
Well, actually, no. She gazed up at me in surprise.
But I thought you went into town to buy her a CD.
Pass the Parmesan cheese, Dad interrupted, quoting his favorite commercial. So far, those were his only words this evening. Guess he had a bad day at work. Doesn't he sit at a computer all day? Was there something that bummed him out on Reddit?
I don't understand, Mom insisted. What did you do after school, Crystal?
Nothing, Mom, I sighed. Can we change the topic? You have spaghetti sauce all over your chin, Cole pointed out. I made a face at him.
Very helpful, I muttered.
Guess I've been sitting across the table from you for too long. I'm picking up your habits. Because presumably the kid actually gets it on his face more, but it makes sense because he's younger and doesn't have as developed motor skills. Plus, females develop motor skills quicker. He stuck out his tongue at me. He had half a meatball on his tongue. Very mature.
I forgot to ask you about basketball practice yesterday, Dad chimed in. How did that...
Bad topic, I interrupted. What a bitch. The dad just wants to know. When you're a kid and you read these, do you read them and then you're like, ah, those fucking parents? Because I read them and I'm like, ah, these fucking kids. Like, if I read them out loud and recorded them at 13, first off, my voice would be terrible. But second off, would I be like, ah, these fucking parents are hounding these kids all the time about basketball practice. Fuck that noise. Anyway, Mom set down her fork. She blew a strand of hair off her forehead. Guess every topic is a bad one tonight.
Huh?
Maybe, I grumbled, lowering my eyes to my plate. I shook my head. I was terrible at practice. Coach Clay gave me a chance, and I played like a perfect klutz. No one's perfect, Cole chimed in.
Cole, shut the fuck up,
Mom scolded.
Doesn't anyone want to hear about my sprained thumb?
Cole whined. No, Mom shot back. Be quiet.
Wow. What a jerk.
She turned back to me. You didn't play well? I
tripped over my own dribble. Twice, I stammered. And I missed an easy layup. The ball didn't even touch the rim. Well, next time, Dad started.
But this was my big chance to show that I can be a starter, I cried, and I blew it. I just felt so tired. I hadn't slept the night before, and...
You're still the sixth player, Mom said soothingly. You'll get a chance. So assuming that basketball is five people on there at once, right? And the sixth is like the person they swap in, like the pinch rebounder, yes? I think so.
Do you have team practice tomorrow?
Dad asked, helping himself to more salad. I shook my head. No, tomorrow afternoon is chorus practice. Cole has it too. You know, the chorus is performing for the junior high graduation next month.
I get to sing two solos, Cole bragged.
Hey, Cole, you should sing solo.
Solo, I can't hear you. Bam, you got tiki roomed.
I'm the only fifth grader in the chorus, and I'm the only one with perfect pitch.
No one's perfect, I reminded him. I know, it's a really lame joke. No one laughed.
Mom lowered her eyes to Cole's hand. How did you sprain your thumb? She asked.
I didn't, Cole replied. I was just trying to get into the conversation.
Ooh, drinking break. So I'm drinking a vodka with club soda and a little pomegranate juice.
Mmm. Refreshing.
Mrs. Mellon, the music teacher with a presumably a huge rack, was a tiny, bird-like woman. She always wore gray sweaters and gray skirts or pants. With her feathery hair and snipped beak of a nose, she always reminded me of a sparrow, or maybe a chirping chickadee.
I don't know what a chickadee is, but I'm presuming it's a bird. You know, I know what Chick-fil-A is. It's delicious. I don't really think they hate the gays. You know, they're just weird Christian people. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't hate the gays. And I'm not a Christian.
But the Jew... Never mind. She called us her canaries. Green County Middle School wasn't big enough to have a music room, so the chorus met after school in an outhouse. Just kidding. In the corner of the auditorium stage, there were eight kids in the chorus. Four boys and four girls. Mostly sixth graders, with a few younger kids like Cole thrown in. It was hard to put on a chorus together in such a small school. Mrs. Mellon was late, so the boys shot paperclips across the stage at each other with rubber bands, and the girls talked about how dumb the boys were.
Look at those boys doing things. They're so stupid. Let's just talk about people instead of doing things.
God, I love talking about people, but rarely do I enjoy doing things, said the teenage girls.
When Mrs. Mellon finally arrived, her hands fluttered tensely at her feathery hair. She wanted to get right down to business. Our performance is 2 weeks from tonight, she announced fretfully, and we really don't know what we're doing, do we? We all pretty much agreed that we needed a lot more rehearsal time. Lucy Ann, who was our only soprano, raised her hand.
Maybe we could lip-sync some songs, like a drag show, she suggested. You know, from records.
Everyone laughed.
I studied Lucy Ann. I wasn't so sure she was joking.
No fooling around this afternoon, Mrs. Mellon said sternly. Let's see how much we can get done when we're being very serious. We sang our warm-up scales.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, dun.
We were interrupted when a large black spider dropped from the rafters into Lucy Ann's curly blonde hair.
Aw, that fool just sat down beside her.
She shrieked and staggered back, and she began shaking her head wildly and tugging at the curls with both hands. Finally, the spider dropped onto the stage floor, and Cole tromped on it.
Is tromping a word? I feel like tromping is more of a word than tromp, so never mind.
Point is, your mom's a tramp.
Isn't that bad luck or something?
A boy named Larry called to my brother.
Cole shrugged and scrapped the... Scrapped? Jesus Christ. Is scrap spelled the same as scraped? Whatever. And scraped the sole of his shoe against the floor. By the way, I stepped in dog shit today while I was walking Franklin and leaning over to get his dog shit, and that's fucked up. It's fucked up when you're trying to be a decent person, but your day gets fucked up by someone who isn't. And you're like, fuck, I'm trying to do what you couldn't, and now my foot smells like feces. So now my Adidas slides are outside. Anyway. Cole shrugged and scraped the sole of his shoe against the floor. Let's begin with Beautiful Ohio. That must be an ironic song, Mrs. Mellon suggested, ignoring the whole spider problem. She shuffled her music sheet on her music stand. That's the one that gave us the most trouble last time. It's the high part that's the problem, Lucy Ann chimed in. It's your voice that's the problem, bitch! Larry teased Lucy Ann. I think he has a crush on her. He's always insulting her. To be young again. Hey, bitch, you ugly and stupid! Do you want to maybe kiss? Can we kiss? Please let me kiss. Mrs. Mellon cleared her throat. Please, folks, serious, serious. She turned to Cole. Have you been practicing your solo? Oh, yeah, sure. My brother lied, like Dune did last week at the dentist regarding his flossing habits. Then let's try it, Mrs. Mellon suggested. Remember, Cole, you wait 3 beats before you come in. No problem, Cole told her. At the last rehearsal, he didn't do it right once. Mrs. Mellon raised her arms, presumably shifting said melons. Smiled and fluttered her hands, her signal for us to start. We began to sing, Beautiful Ohio, you're a state that's flat and stupid, and everyone there who was smart already left because you suck. It's kind of a drippy song, but I like to sing the very high part. Very good, very good, Mrs. Mellon encouraged us as we sang, a tight smile on her face. Tight. It did sound pretty good, until Cole began his solo. I saw him take a deep breath. He stepped forward, waited 3 beats, opened his mouth, and sang, Block, 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 block. Huh? Miss Mellon gasped. We all stopped singing. I stared at my brother. He had a confused expression on his face. He kept clearing his throat. Sing the words, Cole. Mrs. Mellon instructed sternly. This isn't Meow the Jewels, which is fantastic, by the way, and everyone should download it because it's free by Run the Jewels with the cat sounds instead of the beat. But anyway, this isn't what we're doing here. You can't just meow your way through this. You do know the words, right? Cole nodded. Let's begin with the chorus, just before Cole's solo, she told us. We began again. As I sang, I kept my eyes on my brother. I saw him count off 3 beats, then... Block, 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 block. What was he trying to prove? Larry laughed, but no one else did. Cole kept rubbing his neck and clearing his throat. His face was bright red. Are you okay? I mouthed the words to him. He didn't answer me. Cole, please, Mrs. Mellon pleaded. Stop fooling around. We really haven't the time. She frowned at him. You have a beautiful voice. I know you can sing this. Will you please do your part? She raised her hands. Begin on 3, she told him. 1, 2, 3. She began conducting with one hand. Now, let's hear your best, she urged. Block, 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 block. My brother clucked in a high, silly voice. Oh, I just remember that R.L. Stine was from Ohio, because while sorting through my Goosebumps books, I found his, like, autobiography that's called It Came From Ohio. So the point is, that's probably why these kids are there. He probably likes Ohio and knows songs about Ohio that aren't just Bone Thugs and Harmony songs. I stepped away from the other girls and rushed up to him. Cole, what's the big idea? I cried furiously. Why are you doing that? Block, block, block. Cluck, block, he replied. Chapter 10. Later, I was up in my room, wrapping Lucy Ann's birthday present. I glanced to the doorway and saw Cole standing there tensely.
gotta want to know what CD she got. Let's see, what year is this? Chicken, chicken, goosebumps. That's what I'm Googling. Okay. Came out in March of 1997. Billboard charts, 1997. The hot singles in 1997. Elton John? Really? Okay, Jewel. Since Jewel used to live in OB, where I'm from in San Diego, I'm going to assume it was Jewel's album entitled... What was the fuck was Jewel's album name? Discography. Pieces of You. That is my assumption. Cause dreams last for so long, even after you're gone. That's Jewel, right? Whatever. Anyway, that's the CD that she bought, is Jewel's Pieces of You. His blonde hair stood up on top of his head like Dune's ridiculous hair. He was wiping his sweaty hands on the front of his t-shirt. What do you want? I asked sharply. I'm busy. I folded a corner of the birthday wrapping paper and taped it down over the CD case. Cole cleared his throat, but didn't reply. I shook my head at him. You ruined the whole rehearsal, I told him. It wasn't my fault, he cried shrilly. Ha! I slammed my scissors down on the desk. You refused to sing. You stood there clucking like a hen. Whose fault was it? You don't understand. I think we understand, you know. He got chickened by a witch, all right? Obviously he's clucking. Cole croaked, tenderly rubbing his throat. No, I don't, I interrupted angrily. You know, we're all tired of your dumb jokes, especially me. You just think you're so funny all the time like Dune, Cole. But you're really such a pain like Dune, Cole. But I wasn't being funny, he protested, stepping into the room. He walked up to the desk and fiddled nervously with the tape dispenser. I didn't want to cluck like that. I couldn't help it. I rolled my eyes. For sure, I muttered. No, really, Crystal, I think Vanessa made me do it. I think she made me cluck like that. I laughed. I'm not stupid, you know. Even when you wear that shirt that says I'm with stupid and points to me, I'm not actually stupid. It's just a t-shirt, okay? It can't make someone less intelligent, I told him. I may fall for the same joke of yours once or twice, but I'm not going to fall for it again. But Crystal, it wasn't funny, I repeated, and it wasn't fair for you to ruin the whole rehearsal for everyone. You don't understand, Cole protested. It wasn't a joke. I really had to cluck. Out, I shouted. I made shooing motions with both hands. Out of my room, now! His face turned bright red. He started to say something, changed his mind with a defeated sigh, turned and slumped out the motherfucking room. Anything for a joke, huh, Cole? I muttered to myself. I'm usually not that mean to my brother, but this time he deserved to be taught a lesson. I finished wrapping the present. Then I did homework until bedtime. Boring. I turned out the lights and was climbing between the sheets when I heard a chicken clucking. That's weird, I thought. I never heard chickens clucking at night. They're all locked in their coop. Cluck! Block! Sitting up, I stared across the room to the open window. My curtains fluttered in a soft breeze. A triangle of pale moonlight slanted over the carpet. Did the chicken coop door come open? I wondered. Did a chicken escape somehow? Block! Block! Bark! The cry seemed to be coming from close to the house, beneath my bedroom window. Watching the fluttering curtains, I climbed out of bed and across the room to the window. The moonlight washed over me, cold and silvery. Ah, that's where AFI got their lyrics from. Bluck, bluck, cluck! I leaned on the window ledge, peered down to the ground, and gasped. It's probably her brother doing chicken stuff. But then again, the last twist was the brother, so maybe it's not that, huh? We'll see, won't we? Dreams last for sorrow. Sorry.
Chapter 11.
Nothing down there.
No chicken. I stared at the silvery ground, then moved my eyes to the long chicken coop beside the garage. It looked sort of like a long, low, wooden doghouse. The door was shut tight. Nothing moved inside its tiny round windows. Blah, blah. Feeling confused, I pulled my head inside. Where was that clucking coming from? From inside? The chicken's calling from inside the house. Cluck, cluck. Yes, I heard it through the wall to my brother's room next door. Why is he doing that? I asked myself, climbing back into bed. Why is he in there clucking in the middle of the night? What is he trying to prove? All right, drinking break, by the way. I knew Lucy Ann's birthday party would be fun. Lucy Ann always throws great birthday parties. It's probably her parents, honestly. You know, maybe she has some input at 13, but like 11 and 10? Come on. At that point, she was just able to be like, I like Polly Pocket. And they're like, okay, we're going to make you guys all hang out in a Rubbermaid tub. Fuck, should have thought this one out. She comes from a big farm family. She has 7 brothers and sisters, and all of the brothers have sexually experimented with animals. Their big farmhouse is always filled with great smells. Chickens roasting, pies baking, dank-ass kush burning. Lucy Ann's parents are the most successful farmers in Gushen Falls, and they're really nice people, too. Speaking of smells, my car, I had a Kirkland, like Costco brand, bottle of whiskey in it, and it's been so fucking hot here, like it is now, that it exploded and 2/3 of a handle of whiskey soaked into my back seat. So now I can't even have like one beer and drive because my whole car just reeks like a distillery. I just get in every day and Febreze the back thinking that'll somehow help. Anyway, Lucy Ann invited the whole class to her party, and about 2 dozen of her relatives. It was a beautiful spring afternoon, and lots of people were already hanging out in the yard in the front of the tall white farmhouse when I arrived. Lucy Ann has a lot of little cousins. As I hurried up the gravel drive, I saw a bunch of them hanging around the side of the utility barn. Lucy Ann's dad was giving tractor rides, and the little kids were jumping up and down, wrestling each other in excitement, waiting their turns. I met Lucy Ann at the top of the drive and handed her the wrapped CD. She studied the square-shaped box and grinned. Wow, I'll never guess what this is, she joked. God, bitches are always joking about jewel CDs. Okay, so I'm not too original, I replied with a shrug, but we live in a fucking town where there's one store, and there's one CD this month. It's Jewel, and that's what you get. You don't know what a perfect present is. Present it is, she said, as we began to walk across the grass to the others. Mom and Dad got me a Discman for my birthday, but no CDs. I used to have a Discman. I had a Discman that had like a... It took MP3 CDs. By the way, I used this in my brief stint in college until I finally got an iPod, which is the same iPod I still have in my car. But it was cool. I listened to some MP3 CDs. Made a bunch of like mix CDs with MP3s that were super long. And it was cool. I remember one day I went to SeaWorld all day and I was by myself because my high school girlfriend worked there, and I just had a Necro CD. It was like every album he'd put out up until this point, which was like 2002, so not many, but it was like nonfiction too, and I just sat there all day being like, why the fuck am I at SeaWorld alone listening to Necro all day? It was weird. Weird day. That's one of my memories of my CD player, or my Discman, as the kids were calling it apparently at the time this book was made. I laughed. Well, now you've got one, I said. At least I know you don't already have it. Lucy Ann's expression turned serious. Are you going to chorus rehearsal tomorrow morning? I nodded. Yeah, we really need to practice. I'll be a little late, Lucy Ann said. We usually don't get back from church until 11:30. She frowned. Did you talk to your brother? Why did he act like such a total jerk yesterday? What was that horrible clucking? Did he think it was funny or some shit? I shrugged. Yeah, I guess.
Then I added with a sigh, "No way I can explain my brother. Sometimes I think he's from Mars." "Nah, he's just from your parents' genitals." Lucy Ann laughed. "Tell me about it," she muttered. "I've got four brothers." I waved to a couple of girls from my class who were leaning against the broad trunk of an old maple tree. I walked over to them bitches. I like a lot of kids in my class, although I don't get to see them outside of school. You see, Gushen Falls, is so tiny, and we have the only middle school for miles, so kids are bused to our school from all over the county. That means some of my friends live over 30 miles away. When I want to call them at night, it's a long-distance call. That's crazy. You guys need AOL Instant Messenger. It was a nice party. We stayed outside the whole time. Lucy Ann cranked up the volume on her tape player, and we all danced. I mean, all the girls danced. A couple of the boys joined in, the homosexuals, but most of them stood on the grass, making jokes about those who were dancing. Hell yeah, that's Dune, just being hilarious, but also very uncomfortable. I really had fun, until birthday cake time, and then the fun turned to horror! Chapter 12, I finished my cocktail. As the afternoon sun started to lower itself behind the farmhouse, Lucy Ann's mom carried out the birthday cake. Actually, she carried out two cakes, one vanilla from the bakery, and one chocolate that she baked herself. What a nice mom. "With so many kids in our family," Lucy Ann explained to me, "no one could ever decide what kind of cake everyone liked best, so Mom always has to bake an extra for every birthday." What a very sweet woman. We all grabbed plates and gathered around the long white tablecloth table to sing Happy Birthday to Lucy Ann. Beside the two cakes stood a blueberry pie about the size of a pizza. Dang, I don't like blueberry, though. I like pie, though. You should have made it a better kind of pie for old Dune, who was not invited, because at the time this came out, it was... How old was I? 11? Alright, maybe I could have been invited. It took a long while to light candles on both cakes. The wind kept gusting and blowing some of the candles out. Finally, Lucy Ann's parents got them all lighted, and we sang Happy Birthday. Lucy Ann looked really pretty standing behind the cakes. The flickering candlelight danced over her face and her curly blonde hair. Wait. Very into women's basketball? And talks about her friend looking really pretty. I think she might be a homosexual, but that's tight. She seemed to be staring at me as we sang, and I suddenly realized that something was wrong. That loud clicking sound I heard, it was coming from me. My lips were clucking together noisily as I sang. As soon as the song ended, I rubbed my lips with my finger. They felt very dry, sort of cracked and dry. Crystal, what kind of cake? Sorry. Crystal, what kind of cake? Lucy Ann was axing. I gazed up to see her and her mother slicing up the cakes. I held up my plate. A little of both? I couldn't decide either. Plus, I really wanted diabetes. Balancing my plate and fork in one hand, I walked off to join some friends. Looks good, I said. I mean, I tried to say it, but it came out... What the fuck? Sort of a metal click. It's... T-C-C-C... C-K. And then the second one is T-C-C-C-C-K. Point is... I don't fucking know. I ran my tongue over my lips. So dry. I tried to chew a forkful of cake, but each bite made that loud clicking sound. I licked my lips again, tried to chew. I started to choke. She's choking! I couldn't chew the cake. What the fuck is this? A few kids were staring at me. Crystal, are you okay? Someone asked. I clicked a reply. Sorry, I thought I was going to say I clicked reply, but this is before people did things like that. Then I hurried to Lucy Ann at the table. Do you have any chapstick? I demanded shrilly, axing for the brand by name. My lips clicked as I talked. She shrugged to understand me. Chapstick? I repeated. Chips. I said without vowels, as if I didn't have a neck. She nodded, narrowing her eyes to study me. In the medicine cabinet. Downstairs bathroom, to the left, she pointed. I set down my cake plate and took off, running across the grass. I pulled open the screen door and flew into the house. It smelled sweet inside, from all the cake and pie baking. No shit, idiot. I turned to the left, into the hallway. I knew my way. I'd spent a lot of hours with Lucy Ann here. The bathroom door stood open, as if Dad was shamelessly pooping with a door open. I stepped inside, clicked on the light, and shut the door behind me. Then I dove to the medicine cabinet and gazed into the mirror. It took my eyes a few seconds to adjust, but when I could finally focus on my lips, I opened my mouth in a shrill scream of horror. Isn't that how the last chapter ended as well? Whatever, RL. You're a saint. You can do whatever you want.
Chapter 13.
Bright red, my lips poked out from my face. I ran a finger across them. Both lips were bumpy, hard and bumpy, as if they were just riddled with herpes. It is disgusting. Dune doesn't have that because he's had very few sexual partners. I tapped my lips with my finger and made a soft click. My lips were hard. They didn't feel like skin anymore. They felt as hard as fingernails. I clicked them, opened and closed my mouth, staring hard at the ugly reflection in the mirror. Had my lips grown some sort of crust? Were my lips real? Under my word, Budweiser. Had my lips grown some sort of crust? Were my real lips underneath? Franklin is closer to the microphone than me, sitting between my legs. I wish he would say something. I raised both hands and struggled to pull the crusty part off. But no, no crust. The hard lips were attached to my face. Ow! I gasped. My lips clicked shut. What is happening to me? It's like a bird beak, as if I was being... What do you want? I just picked you up. Do you have a tummy ache still? He had a little Rhea earlier. It's like a bird beak, as if I was turned into a chicken by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I can't let anyone see me like this, I cried out loud. I banged the mirror with both fists. This can't be happening, I told myself in complete panic. It can't. I tried to pull the hard beak lips off one more time. Crystal, calm down. Calm down, I instructed myself as Dune pet Franklin. I took a deep breath and forced myself to turn away from the mirror. It's an allergic reaction, I decided. That's all. I ate something I'm allergic to. It will disappear in a few hours. And if it doesn't disappear, Dr. Macy will know how to shrink the lips back to normal and make them soft again. Franklin, what are you doing, bud? You seem to be going around like crazy. I'll take you out in a little bit. I took another deep breath. My whole body was shaking. I was trembling so hard. My lips were clicking. Franklin, one second. Franklin, go lay down. Go lay down. Franklin, go lay down. That's me parenting. Was that good? Because eventually I'll have kids. I'll just yell at them to lay down, right? Anyway. Shut my eyes, then I turned back to the mirror. I opened them, praying my real lips would be back. But no, a bird beak, I murmured in a shaky whisper. It looks like a bird beak. Click, click. I ran my tongue over the bumpy lips. Ow! The hard lips scratched my tongue. I can't let anyone see me like this, I decided. I'll sneak out the front door and run home. I'll explain to Lucy Ann later. I shut off the light and pulled the bathroom door open a crack. No one in the house, I saw. Everyone was still out in the back, enjoying the cakes and the pie. Will I ever enjoy cake again? I wondered. That should not be your biggest concern. Or whatever. Or will I have to pull up worms from the ground and suck them through my bird lips? Wow. I think that your lips are changing, but as of right now, your organs are the same. You probably can't survive off of worms alone.
Sickening thoughts. I crept along the living room, then pushed open the front door and escaped. As I ran to the road, I could hear the happy voices from behind the house. Kids were laughing and shouting over the boom of dance music.
Boom, 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 boom. I want you in my room. We'll spend the night together, together.
I turned and started running full speed toward home. I hoped no one would see me. The sun had sunk behind the trees. Evening shadows reached across the ground toward me as Dune had more Budweiser. My lips clicked as I ran. My heart pounded. I ran all the way home without slowing down once. Luckily, I didn't run into anyone I knew on the street.
Are there strangers in your town of no one, or you just not see anyone in general?
Mom and Dad's car was gone. I ran up the driveway and into the house through the kitchen door. Cole turned shakily from the kitchen.
Crystal! He cried.
I could tell instantly that something was wrong. I turned my face away. I didn't want him to see my ugly bird mouth. But he rushed forward, grabbed my arm, and turned me around.
Mom and Dad aren't home, he murmured, and I have to show you something.
Cole, what is it?
I demanded, my lips clicking.
Why are you,
click, click,
wearing that bath towel around your neck?
Ah, interesting. It wasn't just like the towel around the waist moved up to the chest. He's not becoming trans. That must be a weird move when you become trans. We just start wearing a towel the different way. Am I right? Or is that weird? It doesn't matter. Anyway,
he slowly unwrapped the blue bath towel. Then he slid it off his neck.
Look, he insisted. I gasped.
Feathers. He had white feathers poking out from his neck and shoulders.
They're all becoming birds. And hey, ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is for the birds. Good stuff, Dune. Or Norm MacDonald. Either way, this ends part one of Chicken Chicken. I think I might, rather than edit this, start recording the second part of it so I can get it up in time for the old marathon reading. Not marathon reading, I guess, for running a marathon, right? Most of you aren't running a marathon. Ryan is. I'm recording these to get out in time for him. That's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, I'm bad at words and life and everything else. I told you I was going to put that song at the end. Hopefully I'll remember tomorrow, but, you know, probably won't because I suck. And, you know, whatever. Stay spooky, bitches. All right, doing it one take, one recording. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, eating chicken sandwiches, yeah, oh, 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 yeah.
Chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve, chicken sandwich, oh yeah. Chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. You are the meal that I deserve. So delicious and make me swerve. That chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. Chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. You are the meal that I deserve. So delicious and make me swerve. That chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. 99¢ for a chicken sandy. Walk 30 feet to the liquor landy. Two tall cans, two 211s. 248 is what I'm spending. Bag it up, I'll pay with debit. Swipe my card, the machine just read it. Type my code, beep beep boop beep boop. Give me the brown bag, fuck the see-through. Chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. You want the meal that I deserve. So delicious and make me swerve. That chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. Chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. You want the meal that I deserve. So delicious and make me swerve. That chicken sandwich, Steel Reserve. Steel Reserve. High gravity lager. Goes down smooth like plain old water. Tastes unique like Krispy Kremes. But smells like a bum just pissed his jeans. Ever Everybody likes a chicken sandwich. First mouthful is quite romantic. Second bite just keeps it real. You know what would be my death row meal? It's chicken sandwich steel reserve. You want the meal that I deserve. So delicious and make me swerve. That chicken sandwich steel reserve. Chicken sandwich steel reserve. You want the meal that I deserve. So delicious and make me swerve. That chicken sandwich steel reserve. Yeah. Chicken sandwich steel reserve.